On the day before he's expected to officially announce he's running for president, a new Reuters Ipsos poll shows that former Vice President Joe Biden leads all other Democratic candidates in the 2020 race for the White House. The poll on Wednesday also showed that Biden draws his strongest levels of support from minorities and older adults.
What's the cost for Facebook's massive data privacy breach that's rocked the company in the past year? Facebook thinks it could be as much as $5 billion. It shared that estimate in its earnings report on Wednesday, saying that it set aside billions of dollars to cover possible penalties coming from the Federal Trade Commission in what could be the agency's biggest fine ever against a tech company.
We have to find ways to have a humane, intelligent, thoughtful, orderly immigration process that is grounded in our better selves and our better values. And that requires education and exposure and reducing fear on the part of people who are already there. It also requires some levels of adaptation from the people who are coming in.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Thursday. It's April 25th, 5:11 in the morning. Thank you for tuning in for another edition of The Opening Bell and another business day getting underway. We've put together a really good broadcast for you today. Greg Warsak is here today on Thought Leader Thursday. Greg is with Associated Bank. We talk a lot about commercial real estate with Greg, and this morning we'll focus part of our conversation on the 78 and the Lincoln Yards projects, which won recent approval by the city council. Greg will be up first this morning on the program. A little bit later this morning, Sherry Preston, ABC News correspondent, will be with us to talk a little bit about this Facebook story. Facebook expecting to be hit with a fine of up to $5 billion by the Federal Trade Commission. We'll tell you what that's all about, alleged privacy violations at the center of this. Sherry will join us at about 5:38 this morning from New York, and that's with other news, traffic, weather, and sports as we move forward with the Opening Bell today. And first, though, let's begin on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk as the Opening Bell rings this morning after the NASDAQ hit an intraday record on Wall Street yesterday, but still finished trading slightly lower. At the closing bell, the Dow Jones had given up about 59 points for the day. The NASDAQ was down 19. The S&P 500 lost about 6 points. This morning, as we look at some of the markets from around the world, in the U.S. futures pointing toward another flat open later on Wall Street. Dow futures are off 15 points this morning. NASDAQ and S&P futures are flat. In Europe, markets are generally lower. In London, off nearly a third. In Germany, off a fraction. And in France, down by nearly a quarter of a percent. And in Asia, markets are mixed. The Nikkei is going to end the day up nearly 107 points, nearly a half a percent. But everything else we see is in the red. The Hang Seng off nearly 256 points, down nearly three quarters of a percent. The Shanghai off nearly 2.5%. And oil is trading at $66.19 a barrel in the U.S., up about 30 cents from the last check on that. Couple of big stories that we're watching for you this morning. Yesterday, if you were watching the stock of Microsoft as the company reported its third quarter results, you saw it jump more than 3% on better than expected earnings and revenue. And Microsoft hit the $1 trillion market cap level after its earnings beat. $1.14 per share. Revenue was about $30.6 billion versus $29.84 billion as expected by analysts. So we'll be watching Microsoft as we move forward today on the big board. Abigail Disney is expanding her criticism of executive pay at the company her family founded. The granddaughter of company co-founder Roy Disney and grandniece of Walt Disney recently wrote an op-ed in the Washington Post blasting wage inequality at the House of Mouse. Six top executives at Disney were given a combined $62 million in bonuses last year. Now Abigail Disney wants half the bonuses given to all executives split up among the bottom 10% of employees. The median salary at the company is just over $46,000. The company has defended its record, pointing to bumping the minimum wage for theme park employees to $15 an hour while providing educational opportunities as well. The CEO of Domino's Pizza says the pizza chain needs to have 25,000 stores around the world in the next 5 years. Rich Allison telling CNBC yesterday that Domino's needs to add almost 10,000 more locations by 2025 to reach the company's goals. Those goals include cutting down on delivery times and providing better customer service. Allison said having more stores will lower delivery cost because drivers will drive fewer miles. But he said drivers will make more money because they'll be able to make more delivery runs every hour. It's Thought Leader Thursday here on the Opening Bell. Greg Warsek is with us today. He's a Senior Vice President, Regional Manager for the Chicago Market for Commercial Real Estate at Associated Bank. Greg, good morning. Welcome back to the Opening Bell.
Great to be back, Steve.
Since you were here last, $6 billion for Lincoln Yards, another $7 or $8 billion for the 78. These two giant projects in Chicago are going forward. Your thoughts?
They're going to be terrific projects. I think they're catching a little bit of negative press, especially Lincoln Yards, because it's in an area that's closer to the residential, which is already pretty dense. 78 is getting less bad press, if you will, just because it's South Loop and it's in an area that's, I would say, underdeveloped. Mm-hmm. But I've seen the concepts of both projects. I think they're both great for the city. But there's a lot of I'll just call negative press due to the TIF component that's involved with both of these projects.
Yeah, the TIF component, specifically on the Lincoln Yards, people are saying, why do we need to give a major development in really a not bad economic zone these discounts, I guess, these tax discounts, when this is could be development that might happen anyway?
Yeah, I think there's maybe an overall lack of understanding of the importance of TIF. And, you know, I think a lot of people at a very high level look at this and think that it's somehow a gift to the developer, that this is just, free money. The reality is that without the TIF component, some of these projects truly can't move forward. I mean, I finance a lot of these projects, and without the TIF putting in certain things like for Lincoln Yards, that money's going to be used for bridges, realigning roads that weren't laid out that well, doing some things that, extending the 606 trail to the east side of the freeway. Those are all really important elements that don't just create the viability of that project, but benefit that whole area and benefit the city. So I would say that it's an important component for some of these things to get done.
Sterling Bay is the big developer on Lincoln Yards, and people have asked the question, is Sterling Bay getting too big to do some of these problems? Because it seems like they're involved in all of these different development projects.
They are a very creative company. They have a lot of very talented people, and they seem to be attracted to challenging projects. And frankly, that I admire them. They're visionaries. They have created new submarkets with Fulton Market. Mm-hmm. They're doing that with Lincoln Yards. And I frankly think the city needs developers like Sterling Bay that, and related as they do 78.
These two projects, when they're done, we've seen drawings. These areas, both of these areas are going to be transformed, I think is just an understatement way to say this, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, you look at them and you kind of scratch your head and say, why hasn't it happened sooner, especially 78? I mean, it's an undeveloped parcel in the South Loop right on the river. Lincoln Yards was more of an accumulation, if you will, of buildings that were older and probably needed to be scraped and something new happened. But, we've talked about it on previous shows. There's definitely the path of development is up and down the river. There's that commonality is that river element.
One of the things that happened late in this approval process was the new mayor-elect Lightfoot stepped in, and she was able to get the negotiations to up the number of minorities and women that were involved in these projects, but not cancel it outright, which I think some people thought might happen What does this say about, and again, I don't want to get too political here because I know you have to walk on eggshells about this stuff, but what does it say about our new mayor that she seems to be pro-development in this regard?
I actually think that it was, she got a little more for the community, if you will, but at the same time, she demonstrated pretty quickly that she is, going to follow the previous administration's tone of being pro-development mm-hmm. where appropriate. And I think that was really an important first step for her.
That was a big question that we were all asking before the election about the two candidates. And now we know it's going to be her who's mayor. Will we continue to see these cranes up everywhere? Will we can still see these really cool developments happen? And it feels like the answer to those questions is yes.
It would appear so, but, wait until she gets into her administration a little bit more, and we'll see what happens. Yeah.
I want to talk to you about the co-working situation in Chicago. There was an interesting report that came out recently about not only the scope and size of how many of these co-working places there are, the number of them as well, but the competition among them to land places, locations. Let's talk a little bit about that. 30 of these co-working places in Chicago, I never knew there were that many.
I didn't either, Steve. To me, that was probably the largest eye-opener, is that there are, in fact, 30 different co-work companies operating in the city of Chicago today. That was probably the most fascinating fact in that study. The other components of the study that were interesting, and I think sort of confirmed what we were all sort of feeling as you read about it in the press quite a bit, is that, they have found their way into quite a few of the Class A buildings in downtown Chicago.
The report from Cushman and Wakefield shows that there are limits, that they're running out of space pretty quickly. And there are also some insight, too, into how these companies are working with non-compete, non-disclosure agreements as well.
Yeah, that was fascinating. The study talked about there being, say, about 86 Class A office buildings in the downtown area that Cushman, polled and determined that over half of them already have co-work tenants in them with non-compete. So it sort of confirmed what I've been seeing as a lender, is it's almost like these co-work companies, there's a land grab going on, trying to get into as many buildings to create as many locations for their tenants as possible. I think that's one of the calling cards, is we have multiple locations throughout the loop to service wherever mm-hmm. you need to be. And, the question is, are they all filling up these spaces? Is there enough tenants? And, the bigger question as a lender, and also for the landlords, is how are they going to perform in a downturn if the market gets soft?
That's an interesting question. What does history tell us about what might happen in that scenario?
There is no history.
Yeah.
I mean, really, this co-work concept has really taken off since the last recession.
If we see large-scale layoffs, that would not bode well for a landlord who's holding some of that land, right?
I mean, if we went through what we went through in the last downturn, I think what you would see is, do some of these people start working out of their homes instead of, a co-work situation? Do they move to cheaper, space? It remains to be seen.
A lot of these companies have gone in and made some adjustments to these buildings. They've created some new spaces, new layouts. Will those remain if these companies fall? Is that a benefit that's left over for the landlord?
That's a great question. I know the build out is fairly significant on some of these co-work. I mean, they really trick them out pretty nicely. If you're a landlord and you're sitting there with a building that's 85% leased, and you have enough space, a contiguous space that works for a co-work situation, and you have the ability to take a building, say, from 85 to 93%, from a landlord's perspective, that's vacant space sitting there anyway. Why not, right? So, I get why some of the landlords would be doing it, but at the same time, I talk to a number of them, and they say there's only probably so much I want of that in my building just to limit my risk.
Mm-hmm. Back to the numbers here. You mentioned that 45 of the 86 spaces have co-working tenants. Another 19 of the buildings don't have the space available, so that those are out of competition. That leaves a small number left.
Yeah, I think the study said that they're effectively, you know, not counting new construction that's coming online, there's only about 22 buildings left that are available. So my guess is the land grab will continue in terms of going after that space.
Yeah.
The other interesting thing in that article, too, was the fact that, you know, and I hadn't thought about this, is that they're looking for at least 25,000 square feet of contiguous space. And the those other 19 buildings you mentioned are knocked out if you because they don't have that.
Mm-hmm.
So that was an interesting fact in that study as well.
And I think the homework we give to people today is try to name all 30 of these companies, and maybe we'll offer up a prize if you can.
Yeah, I could only name a couple of them. Yeah. So
there's another story out there, Greg, that I want to get your take on. The new building code in Chicago, an update after 70 years. What is important? How does this impact your world?
You know, this is a long time coming. You know, Chicago was one of the few large metropolitan areas that had not updated their building code, and it hasn't been 70 years, so we are light years behind where national and international building codes are. And this is a very important change because it, in some cases, is going to be hard to measure, but just changing the commonality of terminology, opening up the code to use of more materials. So from a sustainability standpoint, there's going to be a lot of opportunities for builders, developers to build for less, just because the code's going to be more understandable. It's going to open up the opportunity to use different materials that may be cheaper,
mm-hmm.
or allow the building to operate cheaper. So I think it's a very, very important thing that occurred.
So back to all of those cranes that we see in the skies, this is going to be a help, not a hindrance to development.
Absolutely. It's going to help quite a bit.
Greg, how can people get a hold of you and have a conversation one-on-one if they want?
My direct line is 312-544-4645, and my email is greg.worsek@associatedbank.com.
Good chatting with you as always.
Enjoyed it. Thanks, Steve.
Greg Worsek, Senior Vice President, Regional Manager for the Chicago Market for Commercial Real Estate at Associated Bank. It's our Thought Leader Conversation. We do it every Thursday here on The Opening Bell. Make sure you follow Associated Bank on Twitter at Associated Biz, and head over to associatedbank.com/thought leadership to learn more about our thought leaders. This is The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning again, everyone. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here with us on our Thursday edition of The Opening Bell. Facebook's revelation that it could face a $5 billion privacy fine is the latest sign of U.S. moves toward tighter regulation of technology and the industry that surrounds it, which has enjoyed years of nearly unrestricted growth with little oversight. Facebook said yesterday it is planning a fine between $3 billion and $5 billion over privacy matters. ABC News correspondent Sherry Preston joins us this morning from New York with more on this. Sherry, this is a big chunk of money, isn't it?
It's a big chunk of money, but really Facebook has just kind of been minting money recently, so it's not going to hurt Facebook's bottom line. The company did say in an earnings call last night that it is setting aside $3 billion in quarterly earnings as a contingency against a possible penalty that they note, however, that the matter remains unresolved. And what a lot of experts are saying is that that means that they are in talks with the Federal Trade Commission, and the talks will probably include some kind of a settlement that will be in the $3 to $5 billion range. Back in 2011, Facebook and the FTC agreed to a 20-year privacy commitment, okay? And what it was is something that gave users something called affirmative express consent. That means we would be told every time our data would be used before they used it. Well, they didn't do that when it came to Cambridge Analytica, and now all these other privacy things are coming out about Facebook. So, yeah, there's talking about a fine. There's talking about new regulations. Facebook knows that. They know they're in talks. They set aside the money. However, the revenue is still growing, and even with this fine, it's not going to really hurt Facebook's bottom line, at least not right now.
Yeah, and this was sort of borne out yesterday as we watched not only the earnings call with some leaders of Facebook, but how the market was reacting as well. Hardly even a ding on Facebook. So it feels like $3 billion, if that's what it's going to be, is going to be a drop in the hat.
Right, exactly. I mean, the company's stock went up 5% in after-hours trading. After the earnings announcement, it was trading almost 8% up. Facebook also announced during that earnings call that there are many more users, millions of us, using Facebook on a daily basis, and millions more using Facebook on a monthly basis. People have become to be reliant on Facebook. It's how they get their information. It's how they find out about their families and their friends. Instagram has been taking off. You know, Facebook recently announcing that it had allowed millions of Instagram passwords and, you know, email addresses to be seen by Facebook employees. It didn't stop its bottom line either. So Facebook is doing very well. Even with this, you know, $3 to $5 billion fine, I wouldn't feel too bad for it right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you mentioned this not getting our permission for whatever it was that they were doing. You're on Facebook. I'm on Facebook. I don't remember ever being asked by Facebook for my permission for something that they wanted to do.
No, exactly. And it's one of those things that it's like, okay, you know, the agreement said that, and I'm going to read it here, the agreement, Facebook was bound by a 20-year privacy commitment that agreed to with the FTC, okay? And it said violations could subject Facebook to fines of $41,800 per violation per user per day. Okay, well, they're not going to be fined that much. That's why this $3 to $5 billion, that number, pay attention to that, because what it means is probably some sort of a settlement, you know, a fine. They're talking with the FTC right now going, okay, this is what we will pay you for Cambridge Analytica and for everything else. But the question a lot of users are asking, because I'm on this with this topic with stations all over the country, and they go, when will I be told about these things? And, you know, Facebook has not said, come out and said, every time you try to go into the settings and make things private, it seems to be more complicated, but people aren't dropping it. They threaten they're going to drop it, but they just don't get off the site.
I'm one of those people. Every day I threaten, but, you know. Sherry, you mentioned earlier Cambridge Analytica, and this all had to do with the 2016 election campaign and data that was being mined. Here we are coming up on the 2020 presidential election. I think we all want to feel more comfortable knowing that something has changed or that some lesson has been learned. Does it feel that way to you, or are you seeing any of that in your reporting?
Well, if you look at the Mueller report, I mean, what they clearly said was that, you know, people were targeted with news stories, you know, the no collusion, but yet they tried to infiltrate what it is we are reading and seeing and sharing with one another. Facebook knows that. They know that they have an issue with that. They have hired over 37,000 new employees. Many of them are now scrutinizing a lot of these news stories. You know, they got also in a lot of trouble with the bombing that was in New Zealand. You know, the shootings in New Zealand when the shooter went through and actually was Facebooking live that. They're saying this is something that has to be stopped. You can't put the murder of people online. You know, that's a major problem with your site. Facebook knows it has these issues. But yet at the same time, you know, it's made billions in advertising from all the people on there. So it's a real, a question about where Facebook wants its, you know, whether it wants its moral standards to be something or it wants to really protect our privacy or if it wants to make money, because it seems like all three of those things are converging and they may not be quite the same thing.
Some of these tech leaders, and I could be wrong here, but I think I even remember Mark Zuckerberg saying it, that he would be open to some more regulation from the government. It feels like we're moving in that direction. Is there any news on that front aside from these fines that keep being issued? I know Europe has sort of hit this pretty hard with some new regulations there, but is the U.S. Any closer to adding more of these regulations?
Yeah, it was really interesting when Mark Zuckerberg said that, because he actually said, you know, I want the government to do that because we can't police ourselves in a sense. You know, it seems odd that the head of a company would say, please give me regulations, give me the rule book. But they've invented the actual social media. They've come up with it. So every rule that comes up now, we're all in unknown territory. It doesn't seem like there's any move in Congress right now to move towards any more regulations. I mean, you know, the whole regulation idea hands off, but you've got some presidential candidates, Elizabeth Warren among them, saying, you know, if I become president, I will move to break up these very big companies because, you know, all the FANG stocks, Amazon, Facebook, Google, they're just taking up such a huge chunk of what it is we do, you know, and what it is, and not to mention what it is when it comes to the stock market and how much money they all are worth to the U.S. economy.
Yeah, and Facebook is, as we just talked about here, big and getting bigger.
Exactly. I mean, it's and nobody was running away in this. I mean, the idea of any company, if any company came out on an earnings call and said, we're setting aside $3 billion because we know we're going to be fined by the FTC, and it may be $2 billion more than that, most people would be running away from that. Not investors. They're running towards it. They want to keep making money off of Facebook.
All right. Sherry, thank you. Have a great day.
Steve, you too. Take care. And the next time I'm on Facebook and see your dog, what is
like,
it, Murrow?
Murrow. Like.
Okay, I'll like it.
Right.
Take care, Steve. Bye-bye.
You too, Sherry. Sherry Preston, ABC News correspondent from New York with us this morning on Facebook.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, futures taking a big dive on the Dow this morning after 3M company said it will cut nearly 2,000 jobs. Dow futures down nearly 118 points now, more than nearly a half a percent. S&P and NASDAQ futures are mixed this morning. Now, agriculture and commodities. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. A tough day in the grain market again yesterday. Corn futures fell to their lowest level in 7 months. Soybean futures hit a 5.5 month low. July corn down 4.25 cents, and the July soybean contract dropped 6.75 cents in yesterday's trade at the mercantile, at the Board of Trade, at the mercantile exchange. Cattle futures sold off yesterday toward the close of the day. Other news that will involve agriculture. President Trump says that the talks between the U.S. and China dealing with trade going well. He said we're doing well on trade. We are doing well with China. The next round of talks will get underway April 30th. They'll take place in Beijing. And then more talks starting May 8th in Washington, according to the president. A U.S. biofuels group yesterday asked a federal court to stop the Environmental Protection Agency from giving refiners new waivers from the country's biofuels law until the agency reverts to the tougher criteria it used to assess applications before Donald Trump became president. The waivers can exempt small refineries, those with a production capacity of 7,000 barrels per day or less, from the requirements of the renewable fuel standard. That mandates that U.S. refiners blend biofuels with a fuel pool or buy compliance credits from those who do. That's our farm news this morning. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. You as well. Let's check a couple more headlines this morning on the business ticker. British competition regulators have blocked Jay Sainsbury's $7.3 billion purchase of Walmart's Asda unit, which would have created the UK's biggest supermarket chain. The Competition and Markets Authority says the deal would have increased prices and reduced the quality of a range of products available to shoppers. Stuart McIntosh, who led the agency's review of the deal, says that they have concluded there is no effective way of addressing concerns of regulators other than to block the merger. Britain's digital minister says the government has not yet decided whether to allow China's Huawei to supply parts for the UK's five new 5G wireless network. Jeremy Wright says government officials and UK intelligence agencies are still carrying out a review on how best to strike the difficult balance between security and prosperity. The United States has been lobbying allies to exclude Huawei from all 5G networks, noting the Chinese government can force the company to give it backdoor access to data. Deutsche Bank and Commerzbank have halted talks on possible merger that would have created Germany's biggest financial institution. Deutsche Bank says that after careful analysis, its management board has concluded that a combination with its rival would not have created sufficient benefits to offset the additional execution risks, restructuring costs, and capital requirements associated with such a large-scale integration. Now the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for Thursday, April the 25th. Durable goods orders for March and the weekly jobless numbers are out today. The experts see orders for big-ticket items bouncing back after February's steep decline. Analysts are forecasting an 0.8% gain in durable goods orders last month. Also this morning, a first look at unemployment benefits. First-time unemployment benefits Economists see 200,000 workers filing initial claims, 8,000 more than last week's report. We'll also get the EIA natural gas report today, the Kansas City Fed manufacturing index is due out, and lots of earnings today. 3M, Bristol Myers, Comcast, Hershey, Hess, Raytheon, Southwest Airlines, UPS, Xerox, Amazon, Alaska Air, Ford, Grubhub, Intel, Starbucks, and T-Mobile among the companies reporting quarterly earnings today. Just some of the things that could move the markets on this Thursday, April the 25th.